This is Radio Health Journal. I'm Nancy Benson. This week, the way vaccine mandates are communicated can make all the difference.
We like to be given choices. We don't like to be told to do this or to not do this as human beings.
How demands are creating more divisions when Radio Health Journal returns.
I'm Reed Pence, the producer and host of Radio Health Journal. If you like listening to Radio Health Journal, you'll also like our sister show, Viewpoints, which covers a wide array of topics, from education to history to the environment. Here's a preview of what they're covering this week on Viewpoints.
You don't have a mirror and you don't have face-to-face contact with other human beings, and so you forget how to even make normal facial expressions.
The life-changing consequences of living in solitary confinement. Then,
for some people, it's peanuts. For a different generation, it might be Calvin and Hobbes or The Far Side. For a different generation, it was Blondie or Steve Canyon or Terry and the Pirates.
The rich history of American comics. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Listen to Radio Health Journal and Viewpoints on your favorite radio station. And subscribe and listen anytime on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Also, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Radio Health Journal.
More than 400 million doses of the COVID vaccine have been given in the United States, meaning a little more than half the U.S. population is fully vaccinated. And after months of preaching unity, President Biden has decided to go on the offensive. He's been urging Americans to, quote, do the right thing and get vaccinated. But is this all-or-nothing approach working? Researchers say maybe not. Clearly, public health experts want more of us to get the vaccine, but the way that's communicated can make all the difference. Experts say, depending on the audience, certain communication techniques are more effective than others.
In general, most people, when they're given any kind of advice or suggestion, they tend to listen and take it in. But there's also a very basic human reaction that kind of resists advice. You know, those of us who are parents can, fully resonate with that. And I'm sure you had kids where you tell them something and they will do the exact opposite. And there's also sometimes when you prohibit kids from doing something, they'd want to do it even more, you know, the forbidden fruit kind of effect. So there is a basic human instinct to kind of question directive messages.
That's Professor S. Shyam Sunder, co-director of the Media Effects Research Laboratory at Penn State University. He says people who are resistant to getting vaccinated also tend to be the group that's generally most resistant to change.
For most people, in the case of vaccines and so forth, they quickly see the larger good of this directive message. And then they say, okay, this is a bit of a sacrifice that I'm doing for the sake of public health. And so I have to suck it up and, you know, do it. But there is always this, you know, minority that's a holdout. They're the people who will show that reactance and continue with that reaction without potentially seeing some of the more benevolent aspects behind such a directive message. They tend to focus more on the power issue underlying that or the freedom threatening aspect of it.
Sunder says people are more likely to feel that their power is being threatened when the directive comes from someone they don't consider credible.
If it's a credible source, if it's somebody that you trust, if it's some authority figure who you're okay with infringing on your freedom, then you're much more likely to let it go. But if it's a figure that you have some issues with as a source, then that is certainly going to create reactance, even more reactance than perhaps a neutral source. And another thing that happens in the process of showing this reactance is you derogate the source. You actually make fun of the source and their motivations. And so it becomes quickly a vicious cycle.
For some people, it's true that a demand like get vaccinated or die might spur fear-based action. But in others, it also might create the wrong kind of fear. Fear that their free will is being infringed upon. If people feel threatened that way, they're more likely to resist.
What these messages tend to do is to make them kind of steel up against the person who's saying it and propose counter-argumentation. So there are two things that happen. They counter-argue with these forceful messages when it's forceful, and then they get angry. They show an emotional reaction. So they're both the kind of an emotional response and a more kind of an argumentative response. And both together is what we call, you know, psychological reactants.
So what's a better approach that might get more people to buy in? Sunder recommends a more delicate hand to avoid putting people on the defensive.
We like to be given choices. We don't like to be told to do this or to not do this as human beings. This is not just for vaccine holdouts or anybody, but for everybody, it's always better if somebody comes to us and say, you know, this is a good idea. You might want to consider this. It's better than saying you should do this or you must do this. You need to give them more agency. You need to give them the power to decide. You need to make it clear that it's their freedom is in no way threatened, that it's their choice that they're making a decision to go and get vaccinated. So you have to give them the tools for decision rather than telling them what their decision should be. That's the, in essence, the softer approach.
A fact-based approach is always one option. Sunder says leaders could point to data or personal accounts from COVID survivors. Sunder also says social media has the potential to create change.
You provide some kind of bandwagon metrics around the message. So bandwagon metrics are things like number of likes, number of retweets, number of forwards, number of shares, how many people upvoted this PSA and things like that. If you show these indicators of kind of support in the community, support among the public for a particular type of message, we've shown in our research that people are less likely to show reactance to those, even if it's a forceful message, even if it's a just do it kind of message. If you have a lot of people rallying behind that message, the reactance gets tamped down.
Sunder expects to see resistance when it comes to the booster shot as well. Whether leaders are trying to convince the unvaccinated or the vaccinated to get a shot, Sunder says we need to change our strategy if we want to see more action.
Suggestive language is always better than a very directive, you know, tone or language. And so I don't fear that outcome. In fact, I feel like if you even make it a little hard to get, there'll be a lot of people wanting it even more. In some ways, you should scale back even from, you know, the directive message even more to make it look like this is an elixir that you'll need for a longer life. And if you want it, come and get it, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's almost like, you know, reverse psychology in a way, but it's certainly going to work with most people.
Sunder says we might see higher vaccination rates if the COVID vaccine is treated more like an annual flu shot. He says shifting the mentality around the vaccine could work wonders.
There's this kind of a splash of an announcement saying flu season is starting and the vaccines are out. And when you go to a doctor's office in that season, sometimes they even offer it to you. Would you like a flu vaccine? They won't even say you need to get a flu vaccine. They just offer it. And, you know, a lot of people conform to that. They'll say, yeah, sure. And so that it becomes routine, you know, because they don't want to avoid the hassle of being down for a week or two and away from work and everything. And so in some ways, that kind of more subtle behind the scenes approach seems to have been working fairly well.
You can find out more about S. Shyam Sunder and all our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. Our writer this week is Libby Foster. Our studio producer is Jason Dickey. I'm Nancy Benson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
More than 80% of people say that vision is the most important sense. So why do about half of us skip our annual eye exam? Dr. Valerie Sheedy-Pallone, optometrist and vice president of eye care solutions at VSP Vision Care, shares why you should book a comprehensive eye exam, even if your eyes feel fine.
Comprehensive eye exams are more than just visual correction. They can also help detect signs of underlying chronic health conditions like diabetes, which show no obvious symptoms, especially in its early stages, which is why catching these diseases sooner with the help of an eye exam is so crucial. Your eye doctor can tell you more about your overall health than you may ever know. We do that by dilating your pupils or using non-invasive technology to look at the blood vessels in the back of your eye.
VSP Vision Care is the only not-for-profit vision benefits company in the U.S. and has been a leader in health-focused vision care. Schedule a comprehensive eye exam with an eye doctor today. It's easy to find one near you at VSP.com. That's VSP.com.
And that's Radio Health Journal for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more. And check Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify for a library of past programs. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and information about our guests at RadioHealthJournal.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
Coming up next week on Radio Health Journal.
Like many people, brain injury is pretty frustrating, so he experiences some more frustration and irritability and anger than he did in the past.
How traumatic brain injuries can impact relationships.
Then humanizing the ICU.
I now really value that component of my being at the bedside with these people more than I do the procedures, the beeps and the buzzers.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.